Blog Talk Radio.
Why must we feel our futures so uncertain? Why must we feel our presence is a burden? Living day to day off crumbs from the table. This dependency must end. I know that we are able to build a life.
Independence.
What you've got to understand is this reflection that we're seeing in our material world is formed with a delay. Why do I say that? Here's why. If you look around you right now, in our internal world, we can craft a picture immediately. Close our eyes and we look at the picture that we want to look at. That's how that dimension works. But this physical dimension, the third dimension, if you will, it works with a delay because of the inert quality of matter. Because of how gross matter is, it can't violate the laws of nature and just make everything manifest instantaneously. It takes a little bit of time. So this brings me to the next key, which is you must stay with the assumption that you've made for long enough until whatever you wanted manifests. Okay? So what I mean by that is every identity and every paradigm that you have, stay with it for long enough until your goal shows itself. Who you pretend to be is who you'll become. If you're wanting to be a successful business owner, you begin with the identity of who would I be if I were a successful business owner? How would I act? Stay with it for long enough. An interesting phenomenon that occurs when people begin to experiment with this and kind of understand it is they start to see that their lives are going in waves. You begin with some assumption, you begin with some identity or paradigm, and you hope that your goal will manifest. But what starts to happen very quickly is it doesn't show up, reality takes some time to reflect it, it doesn't show up yet, and then your mood starts to deteriorate along with it. And so now, once your mood has gone to its lowest, all of a sudden your manifestation shows itself. But when it shows itself, now it starts to reflect your previous negative attitude with a delay. So now, whatever showed itself starts to deteriorate out back again because it's simply reflecting how you're feeling. In this way, there is a wave. There is this wave, this cycle that's happening in your life, and you can't escape it. You have some highs and some lows, and you can't be beyond it. So the key is you must always stay with the identity and the paradigm that you've created for yourself. And that's the best way you can make any sort of fundamental change happen in your life. Let's get to the next key, which I truly believe was one of the profound ones for me that I've been practicing every single day. Okay? What you have to understand is that the mirror of reality reflects not the nature of your thoughts, but the purified content of it. I'm going to explain what I mean in just a second. Think about it this way. If I keep expressing dissatisfaction, but there's a content to my dissatisfaction. I hate the dead-end job that I'm in. I hate my boss. I hate my spouse or partner. I hate the bills that I have. It doesn't reflect my hate. It just gives me the content of my hate. The mirror reflects the content of my hatred. I hate the bills. You'll get more bills. I hate my student loan. You'll get more student loan and more things happening that'll put you in debt. I hate my job. More things will come up in your job to literally piss you off. Okay? That's exactly how it happens. This is why the rich keep getting richer and the poor keep getting poorer, because the poor keep complaining about what they don't have and what they don't want, and it keeps reflecting what they don't have and what they don't want. Gives them more reason to confirm their worldview and their identity. Whereas the rich, they're like, oh, I have this, and I want this, and I have this, and I want this. So this is why the most successful people are always focused on what they want. Every single client that I've seen, they've become successful by focusing on what they have and what they want. Because when you do that, guess what? The mirror has no choice but to reflect more of what you have, more of what you want, and give it to you in abundance. So this is the fundamental difference between a scarcity and an abundance mindset. Simply looking at the glass as half full rather than half empty. So now, the key to unlocking this law for yourself is simply to just focus on what is wanted and what you have. I want to share with you an example that is going to illuminate this for you a lot more. When I see a lot of people in corporate careers, and they want to transition out because they feel burnt out in their jobs, and they want to get into entrepreneurship, they have no clue what they want to do. They have a lack of clarity on their purpose. And what they do is they keep focusing on the lack of clarity. Oh, I don't know what I want to do. Oh, do I want to try this? Do I want to try that? And an example I like to give is, if you were in the mailroom picking up a package, and you kind of, maybe you knew that the package was there, maybe you didn't know, maybe you're confused, whatever. So you kind of half-heartedly search for it, but then you get a notification on your phone that the package has definitely been delivered by Amazon. Now your search takes on a whole new level of conviction. Once you get to that level of conviction, that level of clarity on what you want with your life, then the search that you have, the search that the corporate people have, then they're able to fully make that transition. The only way to get to that is to stop looking at what you're not clear about and stop looking at what you don't have and begin to look at what you do have and what you do want. If you're an entrepreneur and you're stuck at a certain business level and you look at your business, you're like, why am I not making this much money? You're looking at someone else who's making that much money, makes you compare yourself to them. Why am I not at six figures? Why am I not at 20K a month? Doing that makes the mirror reflect more and more of, oh, you're not at 20K a month? Here's more reason to stay stuck at 5K, 10K a month or whatever it is you're doing in your business, right? So that's exactly how this mirror works. And don't get me wrong, sometimes it's easy for me to forget too, all of these things. But I need to remind myself that, hey, I'm focusing more on what I don't have and what I don't want, which will keep me stuck with what I don't have and what I don't want. In order to make any change happen, you've got to begin to shift your focus to what it is you do have in this very moment. All the clients that you have, all the progress that you've made, the beautiful family that you have, the things that you want in your life. So for the corporate people, and this is exactly what I did, I didn't know how I would get my financial freedom, right? The thing that would get me out of my corporate job. I simply looked at longer term. What is it that I want? What would make my life a vacation? Focusing on these, the identity and the paradigm that I need to have. What does that look like? What does it feel like? It can be a vague picture as long as you're focused on what you want. And when you do that, and when you keep focusing on what you want, the gap between your current life and your desired life, the gap starts to get filled up because you start to widen the limits of your comfort zone. For me, what happened was I had the idea to start making YouTube videos and I just followed it. Okay, this feels right. I'm going to do it. Maybe somehow it'll lead me to that. Just keep making videos. I had no idea that I wanted to do coaching, right? For all I know, I thought I was going to sell like notebooks and journals and planners or merch. I didn't know that coaching was it. But then one day, someone reached out to me for coaching and that completely changed my paradigm forever. But that only happened because I kept focusing on what I want and what I do have. Do you understand? This is very, very crucial. Okay? So that's key number three. Now let's get to key number four, last but not least, the mirror cycle. And this is going to change everything forever because if you learn to manipulate this mirror cycle for yourself, you will no longer be so uncertain about what to do. You'll literally see reality changing right before your very eyes. Here I have this beautiful but empty diagram to demonstrate to you how this process of reality creation works. So for most people, what they're doing right now, okay, pay close attention to this. Where they begin is with an observation. They begin looking around them at the reflection that is already there. And this is ridiculous. Because please remember, the present is simply the delayed reflection of the past. So all of the delayed attitude that they had in the past, all of the complaints, all the shitty things that have happened in the past, all the unconscious choices that were made, that's the present moment. So they look at present moment, bills, job I don't like, stuck at a revenue level. They observe it, and they use that to form their image or their attitude. So I'm going to write image here. And by image, you know I mean the internal attitude, the thoughts and feelings that we present to the mirror. When they form the image, the mirror has no choice but to reflect it. And so it reflects and forms reality accordingly with the image reflection. And then they observe the reflection again, and then they keep staying stuck with this. So this is the vicious feedback loop most people are in. They look around them, they're like, oh, bills, oh, job I don't like. This sucks. I hate this. I hate this job. I hate the bills. I hate all of it. I hate staying stuck here. I've been stuck here forever. Oh, you've been stuck here with this revenue level? You've been stuck here at this job? Here you go. Here's more stuckness. Here's more bills. Here's more of this current revenue level that you're at. Damn it. It keeps happening again and again. I don't know what I'm doing wrong. And then you try the different tactics and strategies. You try the business strategies. You try starting up a new dropshipping business, a new funnel, or a new ad strategy, and nothing works, right? Like, it clicks for a little bit, it gets you all excited, but then you fall back into this pattern because you can't make an internal change. There is no foundational change happening for you in terms of your worldview and your identity. So the way to do this is to reverse this process. For most people, they begin here. This is one, this is two, and this is three. This is the cycle for the puppets. If you want to become a reality creator, this is how you reverse this cycle. And this is what I had to do. We begin here with the image that we'd like to form. We turn away from the reflections. We turn away from looking at our current reality because we begin to realize what's around us right now was merely formed from decisions made in the past. You have to realize this or else nothing will change. If I want to form tomorrow, I choose today consciously. So we begin here with the image. And when we choose the image and we say, hey, this is what I want and this is what I have, the mirror has no choice but to begin reflecting it in little amounts, little by little. Little changes will happen slowly with a delay. And then what we do now instead of observing is we confirm. We peek. We simply peek into the mirror to look at, hey, what's working? Oh, this is working. Oh, look, that has happened. Oh, look, I wanted to be a confident person here. Look, people are receiving me much better. Oh, look, I wanted to improve this aspect of my business. It's improving. I wanted to improve this aspect of my golf game. It's improving. Your whole world could be breaking apart, but you only focus on the things that you'd like to confirm. The things that correspond with this worldview and identity that you've chosen to craft. And then you keep using that. And I swear, the more you keep doing this, it snowballs into something that is going to be beyond anything you've imagined. Like when I started off, I didn't want a seven-figure business. I didn't want any of this. I just wanted to have freedom from my 9-to-5. And all I needed to do was earn $5,000 a month to be able to replace what I was getting paid in that dead-end engineering career. That's what I wanted. But now we're doing six-figure months, which was completely blew my mind how all of this stuff works. So if you begin to use these principles, your life will completely change. I can promise you that. Okay, so now I want to share. I see my possibility.
It's such a struggle trying to climb the ladder of success. Living in a world where every day my strength is put to the test. But I face that test with courage, and I just won't be discouraged. I'm determined, you see, to reach my possibility. Now that I can become. That's why I'm reaching for the sun.
I see my possibility. Just woke up and found him here in me. Nothing but green lights ahead of me.
I'm looking for the down the track. Get ahead, I'm on the back.
I see my possibility.
I see them.
Looking further,
looking further, looking further down the track. Oh no.
Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum. I was saying from Hassan's comment that we, and I say now, we are a duo with a dua that Allah blessed us to contribute. Thank you, Hassan. That's a beautiful way to start off the broadcast. Alhamdulillah. How you doing, sweetie? Oh, you know what? I don't have your mic hot. No, wrong one. Hold on. Now you can.
Unmuted. I just heard the unmute. Okay, good. Now just been hanging in here, having some time with my son. You know, while he's working, I'm working and watching. I was watching a new Jurassic Park movie or something. Having that little time in, and then I looked at the clock and I was like, "Ooh, time to get ready." So when I plugged in, it was still going, so I was still on time because I had time. And I'm good. This has been a good day. The rain has been very calming, and I've been enjoying that as well.
Did you get that cup of coffee going on once you landed?
I got that cup of coffee. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely one of those kind of gotta have things. Now, everybody got their own thing. You know, we rock with that organo gold, you know what I'm saying? You know, it's like,
I'm telling you.
You know,
it is a part of my daily ritual.
It's just real good, but let's move on, because there's so much to talk about. But I'm going to get out the way, because you do what you do.
Okay.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasulullah. Assalamu alaikum to everyone who is listening on Blog Talk as well as watching us on our live via Facebook or YouTube. I am Dr. Camila from Hassan Shuey, and I'm delighted to be here again in this Monday, this is like the second Monday of 2023. My energy is up because I have, I'm entering this year where I get to put into practice the things that I have been trying to figure out, right? So you know how you go through this season of discovering new parts of yourself. What works for you? What doesn't work for you? How do you feel about money? How do you feel about family? And being able to live and be present in that, right? The act of being a human being, right? Being who you are, showing up in your authenticity, being prepared for the corrections as needed. And in listening to the recording that was shared earlier, and maybe, you know, just a slight little suggestion to you, Imam, is the link that you share, like before in the blog talk, maybe when you announce that we're doing this today, just drop it in a post. That way, because some people come on Facebook and they don't have an opportunity because they're not listening in the blog talk and they haven't had that background. That's just a little side note, little behind the scenes, no. Anyway, so I say that to say, I have been in this space of truly inspecting the idea of reflection. As a person whose business is about journaling, where journaling is in my DNA, and it has become the focus of how I build my business and the gift that I believe I have to give to humanity, and as a means of, you know, my livelihood, the gift that will feed me, inshallah, right? That journaling is a form of reflection, right? Hear me when I say this, those that are not trying to be extreme in the thought that I'm sharing with you, but like when we look at scripture, it is a journal of experiences, right? We are seeing the stories and we're seeing the experiences and the lessons and the prayers that have been recorded via the vessel that received the revelation for whichever time that the revelations came. And we have an opportunity to record our thoughts, our notes. Like we can, when we go to a speaking engagement, when we're in class, when we're preparing for a test, we take note. So isn't life but a test? Isn't life a test? And we have these moments where we can write down the emotions, the feelings. How do I process this? What is happening to us in real time? And so when I hear what he was speaking about reflection, I always just, whenever a thought pops up, even if I don't have time to really unpack it, I just keep the little note, put the voice note or write it in my little notebook and give myself time to ponder it, that this idea of the mirror. And in meeting with my study group yesterday, because I had said that this is going to be the year of Quran, like we're going to get together once a month to just explore our experience with the Quran and how we get our revelation that is specific to who we are. That I said, well, when you look in a mirror, what do? You stand in a mirror, and it's not to just admire oneself. It's to ensure that you are presentable when you go out, right? So you look in the mirror, and I said, my collar, I need to fix my collar, let me fix my button. It's giving you an opportunity to get in order your presentation when you go out to engage the world. So isn't the Quran that tool and opportunity for us? That when we go into it, we have an opportunity to see ourselves, to see, okay, you know, my slip is hanging in this area of my life. I might not be too intact in my area, so I need to be better at being charitable. I need to be stronger in my philat. I need to be stronger in showing mercy and compassion to humanity. I need to be compassionate to myself and put Allah first. Like, you're seeing areas, it's an opportunity to see the different areas that need to be put in order by way of our experience by going into this beautiful and sacred revelation. And in understanding that, we have this opportunity to create a language that makes it palatable for those who come after us. So myself and the community that I was raised in, the language of Imam Muhammad, rahimahullah alayh, has been a tool for us to dive into the scripture in order for us to unpack our individualized, personalized experience. So a perfect example of that is, you know, I'm keeping myself on track because there's so many ways to go, right? Because I find this is like a topic of mine that I find truly exciting is, I was going through a time in my life where I just, you know, I thought I understood happiness, thought I knew what happiness was. But like we said last week, happiness, a word is a vessel that carries the spirit of your experiences. So if this container is happiness, the spirit that I poured into it, the water that I poured into it, is based on what I get that spirit from. Was that spirit from Oprah Super Soul Sunday? Was that spirit from, I don't know, cartoons, Looney Tunes? Was that spirit from, I don't know, just pick something that's not directly connected to what Allah says is happiness, right? So the spirit of my happiness was not in a way that connected to something that will always satisfy me. It gave a temporary moment of what I thought was happiness, but it could not be sustained because Allah is the sustainer, right? So in that, I saw this areas of my life kind of falling apart, the sadness, the shame, the relationships and how I communicated with the people that I love. And the breaking point for me was that I have never had a falling out with my mom, ever, like even through teen years, to go as a married, never. But this was the first time that I behaved in a way that was not becoming. And that was my bottom for KC. Everybody else had a different bottom. That was my bottom for me because I could not see. I was looking through the lens of of my ego, of what I thought was important, and I had to stop because it was like, yo, at what point did you think that it was okay to be disrespectful, right? And it broke me down. It broke me down to a point where I took this moment to, like, truly, truly apologize to her, like, heavily, like a heavy, heavy apology when I came to the realization of it, right? And I started this kind of journey of trying to put the pieces together around, okay, what is this happiness thing? Because I know that if Allah says I'm supposed to be happy, why is it not showing up the way that I thought that it should show up? And I remember having a heavy, heavy prayer time, you know, that weeping prayer, that snotty nose, good, begging, like, I need this answer now. I'm having a hard time. I think I'm done, like, looking through the aisles of where to get the answer. Drop it on me, right? It was good. And I was clearing out my closet, and I found a box. And in that box, straight out that box, and so I love a lot so much, was a transcript from the email called Finding Happiness Before Conflict. And I said, and I surrendered from that day forward. This was about 5 years ago, about 5-6 years ago. I surrendered to, okay, you're always being hurt. You just have to be willing to see it, right? Just like when I talked about last week, you have glasses on, and you're like, where are my glasses? They're right there. You just got to take a moment, right? So the answer to what I was asking for was right there in a language that I could understand, right? So I dedicated myself to every single morning learning this transcript, going through it page by page, taking different notes. I said, look, if this don't work, I'm in trouble because I want happiness. And I want a happiness that Allah has, and I called it a sober happiness. Sober meaning that it's not connected to something that can be taken away. It is not something that requires this in order to, it requires this person, or it requires this amount of money, or it requires this. So I needed it to be sober, that it was an organic experience that I have access to. Regardless of the environment, I have access to. And in the studying of it, of course, there were things that stood out the most. But the thing in which which is why I'm telling the story now, that brings me back to the very mission of my business is to return to Allah to ease and please. Right. And the way that the imam, and it's available online, find the transcript for Finding Happiness, Imam Muhammad. I believe it's 1994, 93, 94, I think. And it's in the 90s, let me say that. And this gave me, you know, you could take one ayat and build a whole life from it, right? Because that was what you needed to discover, because that is what Allah has given you the opportunity to be the authority on, right? Let's just be really clear with us. So, like, my dad, you know, he may not say that, but I'm going to say it for him. He's an authority on science, the spiritual sciences, right? There's a thing within him that triggers this ripple effect of study for us to understand of who we are and how we live. So he could point you in the direction how the mind works, the science of nature and our relationship to it. And so he has been given the authority in that area. Imam Qasim was given, and Rahim Allah was given the authority around the language, the alphabet, the science of the Arabic, of the Quran, and the subconscious teaching and how to understand the grammar. And so he was able to unlock so many things for us, right? Because you found that thing that pleased you and made you happy. When you unfolded it, it's like, oh, we go for that, right? My desire to seek out happiness, Camila didn't come up with that. Allah put a certain level of situations and experiences in my life that said, okay, I want Camila to be the authority on understanding happiness. So she got to go through, she got to get squeezed a little bit. She got to get cracked open a little bit so that she can truly understand this idea of happiness from an Islamic perspective, based on the spirit that I breathed into her to understand happiness. And so I love to study anything and everything Quranically and throughout the histories about happy Muslims, like really being pleased with their life here now in this time, and how that could be pleasing to their Lord as an act of worship, and why we should not deny ourselves access to joy, access to happiness, access to feel good about oneself and the choice that we made, trusting that Allah wants the best for us, and how Allah gives us those signs to keep us in that direction, right? So I know that I would not have had the desire for happiness had the journey of my life before not happened the way that it did, right? So whatever that thing is that you are working through, like, you know, I've always been driven to cooking and food and what have you. There was a series of things that have happened. And if we're not looking in the Quran for the science of the thing in which you are seeking to establish in the earth, in this world, right? So when we think about the Imam Rahimullah, it was about, you know, humanity. I mean, you know, independent thinking. Like, this was a big thing, right? So what is that thing for you? And where are you getting the resources to understand this thing? Because in that is the key to your happiness. In that is the key to you really moving on the journey towards your freedom. In that is the key to you being pleased with yourself while being pleased to Allah. But if you're seeking out a thing in order to be pleased by how many likes you get on social media, or to get pleased by getting the best job or the degree, you're limiting yourself. You're creating boundaries now, right? We are talking about an expansion that goes beyond the boundaries of what this earth can give you, right? Because happiness cannot be put in a container. There are moments where I have been able to recognize how happiness shows up because it's not limited by the experience, what's happening, right? People say happiness is the happening, right? That's a learning experience. And I think it's bigger than that. So the happiness that happens is even in those moments where everything, though, it's not going well, but, you know, at the end of the day, I know that this situation is a temporary one. Allah is forever, right? And so whatever will come out of this, I do what I need to be responsible for it, to take responsibility for it, but I don't stay there. I don't stay in that space. Feel the feelings. Recognize it. Why do you feel that way? Ask the questions, right? Ask the why. Stick with that word, asking why, right? And the asking why is not to be in conflict with Allah's will. It is so you ask the why so that you can understand what this experience is. Okay, well, I wonder why when I do X, this is that. That's, you know, I want to know the answer so as to not repeat the same mistake or to have a solution to my scenario, right? So in looking at that, these are opportunities for when we talk about wealth creation and preservation. This wealth creation is in, you know, like nurturing, like in the transcript, it is about nurturing that garden, which is why I'm an advocate for self-love. Like the Quran speaks heavily about how we take care of self. Like we have to treat it with a level of reverence because it carries a huge magnitude of something that can change the world. It can change the world, right? So if we're not protecting our spiritual sensitivities, we're not protecting our financial and family sensitivities, if we're not protecting those, then we become subject to someone else utilizing it in a way that supports them and oppresses us, haven't we seen that throughout history? Like, you know, culture, when we look at culture right now, the cultural abilities of media, of, you know, it would not survive without Black people. Just pick any arena. I don't care which country music even. Country music is also that, like, it comes back to life and through life because of us. There is a DNA. Listen, I got to say it. The DNA of who we are, we have the ability to call humanity to be upright, to be ones to create spaces of worship, Hagar, to call people to stand and be upright, Bilal. It's in your bloodline to do so. So if we don't take charge of that and recognize power of what that is, then those who wish to oppress us will use that power against us by waiving the paycheck, by waiving the contract, by waving these different things in our faces that we are not. And so now we become their chess pieces to move across the board that supports them but limits our mindset to just a bunch of numbers on a piece of paper when it's so much bigger than that. And this is the freeing that we have access to when we choose to look in the mirror of the Quran to understand the power that we have within ourselves. The idea of being limited in what it is that we want and how we want to help others, we're going to leave that in 2022. We're leaving that there, right? When we think about how we can impact the lives of others, you go back and you stand on success leaves clues, right? I think it's Jim Rohn, one of those motivational speakers. Success leaves clues, right? So in the Quran, we have so many success stories. What are the clues that are connected to these success stories? What did they do? What sacrifices did they make? What lessons did they? What prayers did they pray? Because in that is an opportunity for us to get to, like, cut to the chase. We don't have to reinvent the language. We just find the language that allows us to be able to communicate it clearly to those who seek the change. And in that is the happiness. You have to discover oneself in order to nurture it and bring it out, because we are obligated to do so. And with that, I'm going to call the man back into the room.
let me get my voice on before. Alhamdulillah, excellent. Thank you so much. Arisa asked this question. I appreciate your sharing. How can I find an abstract for finding happiness? I did a quick search, but I couldn't find it. So if you can identify particularly that transcript that you're talking about as far as
it would be Ramadan Session Finding Happiness. You could put it in YouTube. Ramadan Session Finding Happiness.
Someone has posted up an audio of what you're talking about?
The whole video, the video.
Oh, Allahu Akbar. Okay, well, that is the answer. Go ahead, what you're saying.
The video is up there, and so you can just kind of go through the whole Ramadan session for that, and just take notes. Yeah.
Alhamdulillah, excellent as always. Thank you, sweetie. All right,
yeah. You're welcome, brother.
Move right along. الحمد لله بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله الحمد لله the subject matter that I'm focusing on today, I don't know whether it be a series or not, but I know I won't be completing it today simply because we didn't try to bring everything that could be possibly brought on it. But moving from that, the idea, subject matter is reconciling the abstract and the concrete for wealth creation. Haja and I, we have the conversation about what we're going to be covering in these broadcasts. And we had a very, very rich uh, conversation this morning. I mean, they're always rich. But at the same time, particularly so, because it boils down to, okay, I want everybody to have, mashallah, you know, quote unquote, what I have. This is no boast. It's no, what you call virtue signaling or whatever language is. I'm just telling you, because that's Islam. Islam, you love for your brother and sister what you love for yourself. There are different people who love different things, and they would love others to have the joy, the happiness, the love that comes with that thing that gives that same joy, happiness, pleasure, benefit to them. Okay, so that's how I am with this. However, sometimes what we have to say is beyond the foundation that some in our audience don't have. I can't measure what your intelligence, what your intellect is, but at the same time, there are certain prerequisites, certain fundamental information that has to be in place for you to stand on top of that in order to appreciate what's happening on the next level, right, or on higher levels for that matter. And so we settled upon the idea, okay, well, how do you ensure, to the best of your ability, Allah is in charge of everything, how do you ensure that people are able to stay with you? And a part of it is that, okay, people need to understand the how. I say also, you do have to understand the why. So both of those are definitely necessary, the why and the how. So I won't go through the chicken and egg question of it. But one of the, one of the proverbs that we all have heard is feed a man a fish and you feed him for a day. Teach a man how to fish and you feed him for a lifetime. And my desire is that this great wealth, and that's putting it lightly, the great wealth that we have in just three things for listing at this point in the comment, the three things, the wealth that we have in the creation, that is the macrocosm, the wealth that we have in our self, our nefs, the original fundamental self, not just our personality, but in the soul that each one of us is, right? That microcosm is what I'm meaning. And what we have in the Quran, right? Of course, we have all the ancillary things that are tied to the Quran, the Uswa of the Prophet, we have Hadith and Sirah and all of that. That's fine. But the Quran is the first thing. The Quran is the first thing. So what we have in the creation, macrocosm, the creation, microcosm, and in the Quran, that is a wealth like nothing else in creation, nothing else in existence, because those are the things. All right, so the goal is to get the fullest benefit out of all three. You want to get the fullest benefit out of the universe, the fullest benefit out of yourself, the fullest benefit out of the Quran, and there's a way to do it. Allah knows best. And mashallah, you know, the Quran talks about subulin, the plural of the bil, or the paths, right? Plural of paths. So it's if Allah had not guided us to this path, we would not have been guided, right? So there are paths as well. So if Allah blesses you to find a path to some of the great benefit in either of those resources, for my example today, a path to the wealth of the universe, a path to the wealth of yourself, a path to the wealth of the Quran, that's by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we're going to talk about one of those paths. And one of those paths is reconciling the abstract and the concrete for wealth creation. It's a skill set. Do you know how too. I'm just saying the question is that that's what is to be answered. How do you reconcile the abstract and the concrete for wealth creation? All right? There are about three hadith that I want to mention going toward this to set a foundation for the why. The why. These are not hows. You can learn some hows from it, but the why is what you get from these three, inshallah. Huzaifa bin Yemen, he said that one day Omar met him and asked him, oh, my bad, I want to share this. There's a lot of print in it, but you'll be able to read it yourself as well. So I do need to share the screen here. Let's get to it. Okay. Huzaifa bin Yemen, he said that one day Omar met him and asked him, what was your condition when you awoke in the morning? Huzaifa said, I rose in the morning hating the truth, liking mischief, bearing witness to the things unseen, to the thing unseen, learning by heart the uncreated, reciting salutations without being in a state of ritual purity, he's speaking of wudu, without being in a state of ritual purity, and knowing that what is for me on the earth is not for Allah in the sky. Omar was infuriated by these remarks and intended to punish Huzaifa when Ali, and may Allah be pleased with all of these companions. When Ali came in, he noticed the signs of rage on Omar's face and asked, why was he so angry? Omar told him, and Ali said, there's nothing serious about his remarks or this remark. What Huzaifa said was correct. Then he went on. Ali is speaking now. Truth means death, which he detests. Mischief means wealth and children, which he likes. And when he says he bears witness to what he has not seen, this means that he testifies to the oneness of Allah, death, the day of judgment, paradise, hell, and the bridge over hell named Sirat, none of which he has seen. When he says he learns by heart what is uncreated, this refers to the Holy Quran. When he says that he recites salutations without ablution, this refers to reciting salutations on the Prophet, that is, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, reciting salutations on the Prophet, which is permissible without ablution. When he says he has for himself on earth what is not for Allah in the sky, it refers to his wife. As Allah has no wife or children. And there's a hadith that concludes this and says that Omar said he would have been lost if Ali had not showed up, right? But there's some possible political elements of an addition. We want to understand that Huzaifa was speaking abstractly, symbolically, about very high and significant things. And Omar, thinking about those things concretely, was infuriated and considering punishing Huzaifa. but Ali did the interpretation. And as he said, there's no serious problem about his remarks. And then Ali went on to interpret it, right? So Omar, in this case, was initially interpreting what Huzaifa said concretely, explicitly, whereas Huzaifa was speaking abstractly, symbolically. All right? Another couple of reports that I want to bring to your attention on this line. And one is the hadith, that's my label, the hadith of the longest hand. It says, some of the wives of the prophet, peace be upon him, asked him, who amongst us will be first to follow you? Meaning, who's going to die first after you pass away? He, the prophet, said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, whoever has the longest hand. So they started measuring their hands. That is, each one would take their hand and put it next to the other hands. And Sauda's hand turned out to be the longest, meaning that it's physically the longest hand. But then when Zainab bint Jahsh, radiallahu anhum, the female, I got to get that plural for the female. May Allah be pleased with all of them. When Zainab bin Jahsh died first of all during the caliphate of Omar, this is after the Prophet had passed away, as the hadith is speaking to, Zainab bin Jahsh was the one who passed first. Then we came to know that the long hand was a symbol of practicing charity. So she was the first to follow the Prophet, peace be upon him, and she used to love to give in charity. So, again, when they first heard what the prophet said, they took it concretely. They took it explicitly. But then only later they came to learn that, oh, he's not talking explicitly. He's not talking concretely. He's talking abstractly. He's speaking symbolically, right? So that's another example of needing to understand things abstractly and not just concretely, because the concrete may not necessarily be the thing that's being addressed. Another hadith, so as I believe will be familiar with this one, the hadith of the black thread and the white thread. The report says, when the verse, and eat and drink until the white thread becomes distinct to you from the black thread, that's Surah 2, Ayah 187, when that verse was revealed, this is the reporter, I didn't put his name here, the reporter is saying, I took two strings, one black and one white, and I kept them under my pillow, and went on looking at them throughout the night, but I could not make anything out of it. That is, I couldn't get this distinction that it appears the Quran is speaking about. So the next morning, this person went to the prophet, peace be upon him, and told him the whole story. Then the prophet explained to him that the verse means the darkness of night and the whiteness of dawn, right? So taking the black thread and the white thread, which is spoken of in the Quran, but taking the black thread to literally mean black thread and taking the white thread to literally mean white thread, and then to try to act on it concretely doesn't lead to what Allah is trying to guide us to through that verse. All right, so these are just a couple of examples. There are many, many others. Just a couple of examples of what happens when you take something concretely, and I have to say only, because there are some things that are true both concretely and abstractly. Concretely and abstractly. the verse that we always refer to, verses that we always refer to, Surah 23, ayahs 12 through 14, the whole from Salalat and Mintin all the way up to Shatnahu Khalkan Akhar, that gestation cycle or those gestation stages that happen in the womb of the woman, they are concretely true, but they also are referring to something abstract as well. In fact, this, again, we're talking about learning how to fish versus being fed fish, right? Imam Muhammad, rahimahullah alayhi, Hajjah, she mentioned about the Ramadan session. So during the Imam's Ramadan sessions, he was trying to teach us how to fish. And he's always trying to teach us how to fish in his whole 33-year mission explicitly amongst us at large. He wanted us to learn how to think, learn how to understand, learn how to reason, learn how to interpret, learn how to apply, learn how to see, literally and figuratively. So, but the point is that you did have to be deliberate in your intention. Okay, I want to know how that's done. You listen to what the Imam said, mashallah, alhamdulillah, everybody's going to get from whatever they are exposed to, whatever is true to their being, their nature. The point being, there were some people who are interested in knowing the how. There's some people who are interested in knowing the why. Some people want more in the how do you do it, right? So everybody approaches different ways. So in terms of Imam always wanting us to know how to do it, because that's how we get Allah's grace and blessing. when you know how to read and think for yourself, but upon the right foundation, upon the right source, and upon the right information, and more and more we're gonna by Allah's grace, we're gonna continue to move down that road. So the idea is, I'll just keep going. All right. So now, see, it's like wealth creation. Wealth creation is, that's what I'm saying. You got to have this background. It's like somebody who, if you've ever had your car painted, or if you ever had your house painted, by professionals, right? That could be you or somebody else. But the point is that they always, if your car has been in some kind of accident or whatever it is, and so they're doing the repair, boom, boom, boom. It's like, look, there's going to have to be primer. You have to get rid of the other stuff. You got to get the primer on there, and you got to get whatever kind of coating needs to come before this and after that in order to do it, right? It's not just a matter of, walking up and splash and dash some paint and it's all straight. No, there's some prerequisites that you have to do in order for the final job to come out the way that you would hope that it would come out. It's the same way with this knowledge that we're talking about. It's like, no, you got to have some fundamentals. And you can tell the difference when somebody is speaking to you from a superficial grasp of what it is they're talking about. It's like, yeah, that's the right words. Those are the right tunes. Here's a funny thing. Let's do something funny real quick. Mark Twain, right? One of the famous satirists of America. He said he was somewhere, and it was a little young girl, and she was cursing like a sailor, literally. What he said is cursing like a sailor. And so he was, trying in his quote unquote wise and satirical way to get the child to understand that you shouldn't be doing that, but without just saying you shouldn't be doing that or stop that or shut up or whatever. No. So he told the little girl, he said, you got the words right, but you don't quite have the melody. You got the words right. All your curse words are the right curse words for what you're trying to say, but you don't have the melody, right? So I'm using that as a humorous way to go back to saying there are people who tell us things about that, and I have nobody in particular that I'm talking about. I just know that that's what we are exposed to, and sometimes it's unconscious, sometimes it's innocent, et cetera. But sometimes there's a deliberateness on the part of some who really don't know, but they're trying to present themselves as knowing in order to entreat others to follow me because I know. But if you don't know how to know what is really knowledge and what's just the right words without the right melody, then this is how you can be deceived. You can be deceived into following people and ideas that are not true in accordance with the true existence of all those three things that I've talked about, staying with that, the macrocosm, the microcosm, and what the Quran has said, right? And that's where you don't want to be. You don't want to be in a place where you might not have it right from either of those perspectives. You don't want to have it wrong in the nature of creation, macrocosm. You don't want to have it wrong in the nature of yourself, microcosm. And you don't want to have it wrong in relationship to what Allah has revealed in the Quran. So may Allah guide us, protect us from being mistaken in those ways. Now, all right. So having said that, then we are agreeing that there is the abstract and there is the concrete, all right? So the wealth creation piece is, it's like once you understand this, let's go back to the fishing metaphor, right? Look, man, if you got your fishing pole, you know what I'm saying, and all the equipment that's designed to get fish, right? Okay. It's like, okay, sure, you got to know what kind of fish it is that you're trying to catch, what kind of fish it is that you're trying to catch. Now, I'm going this way with this analogy to speak to you about you, right? So my metaphor is saying the fish you want to catch is the fish that suits your nature, your destiny, your aspirations, your goals, your plans, your intention. That's your fish. That's your fish. Your fish is that. It might be a whole different kind of fish for me and vice versa. And that's what it is. God says, to each is the goal to which he's turning, so striving in the race towards on. Everybody trying to catch a different fish. Everybody trying to catch a different fish. You know? So, all right. So then you have to understand the nature of the fish you're trying to catch. Well, what is the nature? Are you trying to catch a marlin? You're trying to catch catfish? You're trying to catch a shark? You're trying to catch whatever, right? Well, then you need to understand the nature of your target, right? All right, so let's back up. Let's back up. Now, Blog Talk, I know you're not seeing the visual, but unless you're multitasking, excuse me, then, so what is this here on the screen? Here's a word, I've said it before, you need to own the word, and the word is ontology. The word is ontology. Ontology is speaking to the science of things as they really exist. That's what the word stands for. As Camila Hajjah talked about, words are containers, right? Words are containers, right? Okay, well, the container, ontology, it holds the meaning of how is existence really, meaning that what is it really? How is it really? And the goal is to understand the nature it's a necessity. You have to know the existence that you exist in. You have to know the existence that you exist in. You have to, okay, stay with the movie metaphors. The Matrix, right? Neo, he thought the world that he was living in was the real world. right? He had an itch that had to be scratched, and, you know, red pill, blue pill, follow the white rabbit, all the rest of that. You all know that story. The point is, but there was, you know, there was an itch in him, but he didn't quite know. So he's always trying to get to it. But the point is that he had to get introduced to a reality other than the one that he thought was the reality, okay? So, and once being introduced to that reality, he had to also learn how to live in it. He had to learn how to exist in that reality, right? So whatever. So you had whatever that white place was. I'm sorry. I don't want to stay there, but the construct, right? So you had the construct, right? So there's the construct. And then the matrix is something that, you know, was quote-unquote made out of it, made upon it, or what have you. All right, brothers and sisters. So listen. The world that you're experiencing right now, the world that's palpable, physical, you know, tangible, et cetera, that we move through and live through and accept and whatever and exist in as long as we are, quote, unquote, alive, that's one thing. But there's something behind that. There's something behind that. And that reality is the hawk, is the hawk. The hawk is reality, it is the truth, and it is beyond the material existence. Well, I'm talking ontology, I'm talking about reality as it, how does life as we understand it, how does it actually exist? What really, quote unquote, identifies and defines it, right? And I'm saying it is not the material universe and material things. It's not. That's not the reality. When I say it's not the reality, it's not the final foundational reality. No. These mountains, trees, birds, bodies, water, elements, everything visible, tangible, etc., these are expressions that serve a purpose. And we're going to say more about that. But the reality is something else. The reality is the abstract, metaphysical, spiritual, except Allah says in the Quran, says, look at the orbs that you see in the sky. Look at them. Held up without pillars that you see. Held up without pillars that you see. That's God telling us. Remember, abstract and concrete. That's God telling us. Like, okay, look, I know you see these physical things, and I know you're stuck on those things as the reality, and that's your natural way of perceiving until you grow up. But let me tell you, Allah is telling us the scientific reality. You know, before Einstein's theory of relativity in the early 20th century, he told Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the 7th century that there is gravity, there is a universal field, there is a quote-unquote whatever, space-time fabric, whatever you want to call it. It is something that is unseen, that holds up the scene. And we can talk about dark matter and dark energy and all those things. Those things are unseen. 95% of reality is unseen. Everything you see, put them all together, add them all up, and they only will represent 5% of this universe. The rest of this universe is unseen. Okay. So the point is, don't get stuck on the material. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he tells us that this life that we are experiencing and alive in, and that we thank Allah for it, and we are not in a hurry to leave it, he say it is an illusion. This is the creator of it. In his revelation, he's saying this life that you're in is ghurur. Excuse me. It is ghurur. It's an illusion. Sounds like the Matrix, doesn't it? Right? It's an illusion. So, you know, if you ever run across these people, I'm not even going to name them because I don't want you even looking for them. The ones I'm thinking about right now, they're saying that the universe is tricking us or something like that. You know, it ascribes, the way they describe it, while I'm talking about from God, I'm talking about Guru, or I'm talking about the illusion that Allah reveals about these guys, these material, quote-unquote, scientists that by their logic and et cetera, and their reading of material science, they'll come to the point that it's like the universe is tricking us. It's trying to hide things from us, right? So it ascribes an other than virtuous intent to the what I just described that Allah revealed to this illusion, to this gurur. In that devilish mindedness, it's a trick. It's a, you think you're seeing reality, but that's not reality. That's true. We say the same thing, but you, material science, you say it as though, you know, the creation is trying to make a fool out of us or something like that. Whatever. Let's get away from that. So this is the intention of this is to just for us to understand. Those of you who study with me through a clear understanding, you've already seen this and going through all the numbers, which we're not going to do right now because we still want to get more concretely to some other features. All right. So ontologically speaking, this is the, let's just call it the metaphysical skeletal of reality. The metaphysical skeletal map of reality. I say that to say that the structure of reality, I'm talking about the beyond the mountains, beyond the sun, moon, star, beyond the material reality of which even then we only see 5% of it. There's something behind the dark matter, dark energy that it rests upon the design of Allah for the entirety of creation. All right. And looking to our information here to the left, it all begins with Allah, then his will, and then the universe of creation, and then the laws which govern the universe of creation, and then there's us. There's us, the original human soul, which is an epiphenomena, meaning that we are a growth. Literally and figuratively, we are a growth out of the material reality, which was produced for that very purpose. The material reality was produced as a womb. When we talked about this subject in part last week, the idea of the role of the womb in wealth creation. Well, everything has a womb, right? So that womb, meaning there's an environment, there's a source for it to move and evolve, the qadr, for it to move and evolve from simple to complex, from nothing to something, quote unquote. All right, long conversation about that issue of nothing. But simply put, here we are. We are the outcome. We are the fruit of creation. Human being, we are the fruit of creation, all right? When God says, "Thumma anshaknahu khalqan akhar," he's saying that was what it was all about. See, now the rest of these people, including your boy of the planetarium, New York, blah, 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 y'all know it. It's like he and others, they want to take it that, the human being is not, you're from a backwater planet, a speck of dust in the universe among billions of galaxies. Da, da, da. So it's sort of like, see, that's the shaitanic kind of thing, in my view. It's like, human being, you ain't all that. You pretty much, you're not nothing by comparison. That's another point that they're missing about. God says something similar, not, but not in nature at all. So let's just go ahead and take that away. Let's take it away. What God says is this. God says that your creation is a bigger matter than the material creation. Meaning that you're not as hard to create as this universe that I use to create you, right? And this universe is much bigger than you. However, brother and sister, God says of the same creation, Sakhara lakum ma fi samawati wa ma fi al-ard, says, I have created all of this to render service to you, but don't get big-headed. That's your problem. Don't get big-headed. Don't get arrogant. Don't get confused. Don't think that there is no God and you are God. You know, just stop it. You are to be an expression of my will, Allah. You are to be an expression of my will. That's what I created you for, right? And so that's what you're supposed to be doing. So in terms of that, so that's the nature. Let's move on. So we are the fruit of the cosmos. We are the fruit of the design of creation. And sort of like, you know, and listen, it's like all of this, you know, for us? Well, yeah, Allah is Ar-Rahman. He is the most gracious, right? It's like all of this, yeah. That's God. That's Allah. It's all for you. But do you think that you're going to enter paradise and not be tried? Do you think you're going to get the goodies out of the nature of this creation and you don't have to do anything for it? No, you got to do something for it. So let's move on to that. The human being's knowledge of the laws and the patterns and the regularities in nature makes science and prediction possible and enables man to serve Allah and humanity better. That is, his knowledge, human beings, when we know more of the laws and the patterns and the regularities in nature and we become scientific in the nature of our approach, in obedience to Allah, in service to his will, that's what I'm talking about. Whenever I say science in this regard, that's what I mean. I don't mean just whatever they're doing in laboratories in America or in the world, anywhere. But it's that the nature, the science and prediction becomes possible with that knowledge, and that is what enables us, men, human beings, male, female, et cetera, to serve Allah and humanity better. That's what Allah wants us to do. And so the path to that service is through science garnered or abstracted, drawn out by and through an obedient intellect, an intellect obedient to the will of Allah, understanding that Allah has a will, Allah has a plan, Allah has a destiny for human life. And when we become conscious of it, then we become servants. We become deputized to that service in accordance with the will of Allah. And really, that's it, right? So again, going back to this multiple fish thing, right? You said everybody's going after different fish. Okay, so when we talk about wealth creation, wealth creation is just one of those fish. It's like accumulating wealth, that's one of those things that you can do when you understand that, right? So you could approach the laws, the patterns, the regularities in nature in the aspiration for wealth creation. That's fine. That's one of the things that you can do with the knowledge of the macrocosm, the microcosm, and what Allah has in the Quran. You can, vis-a-vis the Quran, with that in mind, with that as an objective, then you read the Quran with that objective. And what happens is, because that's what you are searching for, it will filter for you. That is, that perception in obedience to Allah will filter for you the capacity to see what in the Quran will guide you closer to that kind of fish. I'm talking about wealth creation, right, as an example. Takes you, you know, it's got to be something connected with bait and bait. Right, so the bait, the bait, the lawl the Kaaba, that's the destiny, right? That's what we're trying to get to. In order, and that means a composite society, an ummah, et cetera, a structured civilization, et cetera. That's the bait, right? But you, in order to get there, so you got to have the right bait. And the right bait is so that you can catch the knowledge and the information and the algorithm for getting to that destiny. Let's move on and see if we can add a couple of pieces before we go. So this Surah 96:1-5, the first of the revelations to the Prophet, peace be upon him, Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, and then also the hadith on the intellect and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, according to the report, that I have not created anything more excellent than you, and I have not created anything more beloved to me than you. Intellect is very, very important. Those of you with us on the Jummah subject, we've just started into that subject, and so we'll be going on for a few weeks on the Jummah, continuing on the issue of the intellect, so I'm not going to spend time with it right now on that. So now, so when we as an epiphenomena of creation, so I showed you the map, right? So that's the map, that's the schema, that's the reality, that's the foundation of the nature of existence. Excuse me. That's what that is. Okay, so we're here, right? We're here. We're alive. We're standing up. We're another creature. We have consciousness. We have mind, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, now it's time to serve God. Okay, what am I supposed to be doing to serve God? Right? Because that's what I was created for. And once I embrace the idea that I'm created for that, then I need to know, well, what should I be doing in that service? Right? All right? And it is through the intellect. The intellect is the tool. ثُمَّ أَنْشَأْنَاهُ خَلْقًا آخَرٍ. When the mature intellect, now when I say mature, I'm talking about it's capable of, it is in possession of all of the, let's just call them abstract appendages, you know what I'm saying, the abstract appendages, as a psychic body. You have the arms, the legs, the eyes, the ears, all the quote-unquote senses. I'm talking about a psychic body now. So it's fully equipped in the context of what it's supposed to be, the full extent. Just like literally, like our body right now, you know, the 10 fingers, 10 toes, you know, eyes, ears, nose, mouth, you know, all the other organs. Okay, that's fine. So that's my physical body. Now imagine that we have a psychic body, and we do. And it also has to reach a level of maturity in order for it to be able to do what it was created to do. Okay, so the body has to reach a certain maturity. So there's certain capacities that have to, like my fingers, they have to grow out and become fully flexible fingers with all the right sinews and nerves and muscles and tendons and blah, blah, blah. That has to happen. Same way with every other organ in my body, in order for me to do what the body is intended to do in this space. What I'm trying to point to is that the same is true for us as a psychic body, as an abstract body, right? And the prime force of that fullness, meaning that the most important, the most significant maturity in this reality is an intellect that is obedient to Allah and mature. And all I mean by mature is physical. I don't mean that it has reached the seventh heaven or anything. I just mean it's ready to start. And really, that's Adam, right? That's Adam. So I already knew, you know, we're going to get to so much. And that's it. So look down at the bottom of the well, take you to the bottom of the page here. So who is Adam? From the amount, Adam is the disposition that you come into when your life is reconciled with the nature created by Allah. Then that disposition finds patterns for your thinking in the creation that will bring you to the great destination that God wants you to reach for your capacity and your potential inside of you. All right. Page 117, Education, a Sacred Matter. So that's Adam. So we're just going to have to wrap it up this afternoon, this evening, with understanding this. Here's another distinction to be made between the abstract and the concrete, right? So most times when you hear Adam, you think about a bipedal creature. You think about Homo erectus. You think about man, anatomical man. Stop. You have that, but that's not the main thing, and that's not the most important thing. Sure, there was a first man somewhere, and alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, we thank Allah for it. And we're the proof that there was a first man, because there would be none of us if there was no prior humanity, a prior human being. Okay, so now stop. Now let's get to the abstract. That's concrete. Good, we got it. It's here, physical, boom, fine. What's the abstract? Which is, when you get to the abstract, you're getting to more of the reality. I'm talking about the haqq. You're getting more to reality when you think beyond the physical and think in terms of the metaphysical, the abstract, the spiritual. All right? So Adam, don't think about Adam. It's critical. Don't think about Adam as a body. Think about Adam as a disposition. Think about Adam as a body. Think about Adam as a disposition. Now, there are many people who are alive who have not yet attained that Adamic disposition. The Imam has defined it for us here. It is the disposition that you come into when you are reconciled with the nature created by Allah, meaning your intellect, your mind, your thinking, your sense of yourself has to say, okay, what is nature as God has created it out there and in here, and I'm with that. The nature of creation is this. My own nature is this, and I'm with that. Now, when you're with that, now you have the right disposition, but you're just getting started, Adam, first level, right? You're just getting started. And until you get to that place where you own that knowledge, where you say, yeah, good, got it, I'm with it. I live in that. It's like I don't have to, oh, man, I got away from it. And yes, maybe you have to get to the point where you get away from it. But once you get it, that's it. Once you get it, once you are that, once your disposition is true to the reconciliation of the nature of creation created by God, that's it. That's the launching pad. But again, it's just the beginning. I'm almost done. Okay, what does that give you? What does that give you? It gives you a disposition that finds patterns for your thinking in the creation that will bring you to the great destination that God wants you to reach in your, so it's like, Adam, you're just getting started. You still got six more levels to go, seven actually. Seven, meaning that 1 + 7 = 8, okay? So you still have those levels to get through, but you're not going to even get started until the Adamic disposition or the disposition that is identified as Adam. Because what will happen after you, when you get there, Now you start feeding on the macrocosm and feeding from the microcosm, the knowledge within yourself. Alama Adam al Asma'a kullaha. It's in us, right? And it says, so that disposition will lead to a mental spiritual habit that, okay, what does that mean? Oh, what does that mean? What is this? And what is that? Eating from the garden, huh? Eating from the garden, right? But don't eat from that tree. Okay, you see, it follows. So the point is that when you have that, and then you know that about it, so then when you go, stay with my analogy of fishing, when you go fishing, then you're looking for the patterns that relate to the fish that you're trying to catch. And what's going to provide that for you? The universe and your own self / intuitions that are in you that will dawn in your mind because you have a disposition to capture it. And you see things, and then you try those things out in different places in your project of attainment, and you say, oh, that works. Oh, no, that doesn't work. Okay, well, let's look at, put that aside. Let's try this. All right? All right, so we're going to put a comment in that, and inshallah, we'll come back to, by the grace of Allah, inshallah, we'll come back to it. All right, so that's going to be it. Hajjah, I'm going to bring you back. Let's go ahead and close this out. All right. Let's see. Do I have you muted or you got yourself muted? Must be you.
I should be live.
All right. You are live and in living color.
Okay, good.
All right. So any kind of comments you want to close out with, we'll look at some of these notes and keep on.
I think that we're just in this time and space where, we have no more, we don't need to spend no more time with the idea of this way of life being a struggle, right? To really lean into and speak into the reality that, everything that we need is right there for us and for us to surrender to the truth, right? The truth will set you free.
Absolutely.
It is there. The more we keep trying to make up something for ourselves to feed our human need or our ego is where you're going to struggle.
Mm-hmm.
But when you choose to surrender to what the truth is, it's a lot easier to move in that way.
That's right.
So,
Alhamdulillah. So it's just really, really important. So inshallah, we'll get there. So we're going to stay. On this road to know how to fish, and make you fishers of men, right? All right, so that's going to be it. I thank you, and I thank everybody who's with us. And mashallah, everybody have a wonderful evening. That's it for us. God's peace be on you.
Assalamu alaikum
wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.